I give credit to WFAN and our digital team. Earlier today, I had a gift for our coworker Sal Licata. I gave him a Mercury Mets jersey because that was the giveaway on Saturday. And Sal and I are, we're very different, but also have a lot of similarities in some ways. And I know as a Met fan, and he is a Met fan, despite some claiming he's not lately. He's a real Met fan. He's a diehard Met fan. I just knew he would appreciate the Mercury Mets. So while he was on the air today, I threw a Mercury Mets jersey all packaged up at him, and it was a perfect throw, and it landed straight on his head as he was talking.
Are you serious?
And the WFAN digital team caught it, and they have put that video out, so I've retweeted it, if you'd like to see me dropping a little mini bomb on Sal's head.
That's cool.
But he didn't mind. He appreciated it. I gave him a gift. I'm a man of gifts, much like on Thursday when I give my coworker Tiki Barber a very special gift, and that is, of course, a Breece Hall jersey.
Do not do that to him.
But more on that later. Right now, we are a little late, but it is the 5 o'clock hour.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, the Yankees have made a big move, which means a lot of people are going to be saying the wrong thing. I'm giving you the 5 most likely next people to say Jazz Chisholm's name wrong.
Mm.
All right.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Chaz Chisholm.
Here we go!
Number 5.
It's Ricky Ricardo, who will call this series on Philadelphia on WFAN. It cannot be easy going between the Spanish language broadcasting, doing the play-by-play in English on FAN. We could get a Ricky slip-up as early as tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be listening to these games exclusively on the radio just to check in and see how Ricky does. I'm a big Ricky Ricardo fan, but you're right. I think there may be a little slippage today.
Jazz Chisholm is his name.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I spoke to Ricky yesterday. He was here while I was doing the show. He's got a few things up his sleeve for Jazz home run calls. So be on the lookout for that. We could play it back here on the show. But he was very excited about it.
I can't wait.
Everybody's stretch run, by the way, August, September. These announcements say heating up. Here we go.
Number 4.
It's Susan Waldman. A walk-off hit, star of the game, crowd going nuts, excited. Maybe Susan and play a little slip up.
Mm. I don't think Susan's going to mess up. She's a radio professional. She's been doing this for a long, long time. I think she's actually going to be very similar to me and flawless with the name Jazz Chisholm.
You'll screw up before
October. Number 3.
It's Emmanuel Barbari. Look, he's looking to figure out his bullpen puns. He could lose focus easily.
Yeah, I think I love Emmanuel. I think he is very likely to botch the Chisholm very quickly.
Okay, botch the Chisholm.
Here Number 2.
Number 2 is Chris McMonagle. And I say this because A is Mr. Yankee, B, those overnights following the games, I saw Chris on Friday. He gets a little tired.
Yeah.
And a little tired, a little late, 4:30 a.m. Yeah, that could be a slip-up.
Big time candidate, Big Mac. I agree.
All right.
Number 1.
And it's Craig Carton, who Evan alluded to earlier in the show. He has that big series with Texas coming up. He might do it purposely.
No, I think he's going to do
that
it purposely.
That series looms large, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how many,
yeah.
I think, for
yes.
Craig. That's Cinco de Fivo.
Jazz Rotto, Hermes Arrington Chisholm.
By the way, the context of that clip from Justin Shackle is that Justin had previously screwed up Jazz Chisholm's name. And I think in an effort to almost clean up the mess, learning from the great Mike Francesa, is if you say someone's fullest of full names, that will somehow like cleanse the mistake you made. Famously, Mike didn't know who Al Albuquerque was and came back from a break and said, I didn't know you meant Alberto Luis Albuquerque. I didn't know that's what you meant. Okay? And that is, of course, famous in WFAN history. And I think that Justin kind of did the same thing. He's like,
all right,
I said, by the way, we've lost that clip. Like, I have to go through my phone and find it.
Oh, come on.
But the Justin Shackle, Jazz Chisholm mistake has disappeared, which I wonder if, like, someone's working for him and said, let's get rid of it. I asked Rosie this morning. We can't find it.
Came in and cleaned out the system?
No, I don't think he did, but someone may have done it for him.
Do you think Shackle and Emmanuel, to a lesser degree, were really, really upset when they saw the news come down Saturday?
I think there was a nervousness that definitely peaked.
They were definitely the least happy associated with the Yankees with the trade.
And by the way, I said that Jazz Chisholm would be a great fit for the Yankees. I think he has a chance to blossom here. So from a baseball standpoint, I love the trade. But I also love the fact that a lot of people are going to screw up. But I'll give you another guy I want the Yankees to get.
Okay.
Pete Fairbanks.
I love Pete Fairbanks.
I get it. He's a top-line reliever for the Tampa Bay Rays. Pete Fairbanks is not only like an awesome dude, but he's also really intense. And so a few weeks ago, he did a post-game interview that we're going to play for you right now. So you can see and experience the Pete Fairbanks, like, full experience, but he pitched badly that day. And so Pete was being asked by the soft-ass Tampa Bay media, hey, you know, that kind of stunk.
All two of them.
All three people. Yeah, it's actually three. Don't shortchange them. They've got 12 fans, and they've got three media members. And Pete Fairbanks was asked a question about, you know, what went wrong. And listen to how intense he was and how amazing this would be, talking to the New York media on a nightly basis.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
I want this guy. I want him. I know that after a loss, like, no one's going to laugh necessarily. But don't you want that in the Yankee locker room?
If Clay Holmes said that after Friday night, I'd respect him a little
You'd
more.
You'd appreciate that.
I would. You don't want you sucking, but at least acknowledge it.
By the way, do you know who that sounded like? Play it one more time. And because there is somebody specific that he really sounds like.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
I have not had a conversation with Lugie about this, but his eyes lit up. And I think he's going to name the person that he sounds exactly like.
So when I first heard it, I couldn't put my finger on it. But then when you said it the second time, he sounds like the Rated R Superstar Edge.
Sounds just like Edge. Could not get that out of my head.
Sweet. Sweet, he's one of... Okay.
Yeah, he's... Didn't he used to say that, too? Like, sweet? Him and Christian would be like, sweet, or something like that?
Yes.
Oh, so
don't
you're
recall
making...
that one, Evan, but, you know, maybe, we'll go with that. Maybe.
You know... they did for the benefits of flash photography, Edge and Christian.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned Fairbanks. I just wanted to run this by you before it comes stale, too. Winker, not in the lineup yesterday. Jazz Chisholm was.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mentioned that. I didn't like them.
Okay. How would you feel if the Mets or Yankees traded for Randy or Rosarina, and the next day, instead of being on a flight to wherever they were, he instead spent an extra day in Tampa and sat in left field in what's called Randy Land with the Rays fans to say goodbye?
Yeah, so I saw that over the weekend. I would be pissed. So if I'm a Mariner fan, that's where he got traded. I would absolutely be annoyed.
Yeah.
But it was very cool for him to do that.
Two things are
that
true.
That was a great gesture to those fans.
It was cool. However... let's go.
No, I get you.
Get on the flight.
Look, I traded for a guy. I want you to be excited. I want you to come over as soon as possible. Obviously, if you got family things, totally respect it. But you saw Jazz Chisholm get on that plane as fast as possible.
Yep.
He was making sure he was in that lineup for Sunday Night Baseball against the Red Sox. Jesse Winker, too. Like, he couldn't wait to come to New York and be a member of the New York Mets, and I do appreciate that. Let's go to John in Garden City. How you doing, John?
Hey, Evan. So Fairbanks would be a great quote. He also said, I'm doing better than the guy who told me to drink bleach.
Yes.
That's another one of his.
Yes, so I have that one, too, if you guys want to hear that.
But he's got a little arm trouble this year. I got a question on a Yankee thing. DeGrom and Scherzer made me think of that. But before I get to it, hopefully you'll let me get to it, I want to ask you. As I'm watching the Olympics yesterday and everybody's hating on Embiid, I'm wondering, is Evan rooting for Durant as he's going off, or is he hating Durant?
That's a great question. I love basketball, and there was a time in my life where I liked Olympic basketball, and now I just can't get into it. So the answer is I don't even watch it. And I think a part of why I don't watch it is not bitterness of where my team is, but because, like, I know we're great, we should win the gold medal, and I just watched and consumed so much basketball over the course of the regular season. Like, I'm a sick freak. I watch every Nets game and every Knicks game. I don't miss them. So I just sat down and watched 160 regular season basketball games and then obviously a deep Knick run. And so to me, I'm just completely basketballed out to where I'm just not into it.
And we're a month and a half away from watching a ton more.
You're right. If I was, I would root for Team USA. Like, I would put my American fandom above anything else. So would I root for Kevin Durant? Maybe not for him to have this massive first half off the bench like he did the other night. But ultimately, I'm an American. I never root against Team USA. I have watched a little bit of the Olympics. Can I tell you what I watched the other night? And I'm not making this up. I want you to Google this.
I've watched a ton, so I bet you I've seen a ton.
Have you really?
I'm so bored to tears by it. I'm done now.
Oh, you're done with the Olympics?
After one weekend. I realize the Olympics are the most overrated sporting event of all time.
Yeah, like, I didn't watch the opening ceremony. Apparently, it was very controversial, and a lot of people were bothered by it or offended by it. I have no idea. I didn't watch it. I had no interest in it. But then my wife had sports on, and I was like, oh, I'm okay. So last night, I was watching volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
The USA defeated somebody.
Beach or regular?
regular volleyball.
Okay.
So I'm watching the volleyball, and there's a guy. Who did USA play last night? See, this is your rabbit hole time. Tell me who they played last night. I got no idea. But one of the guys on the back of his jersey, I swear to God, the back of this man's jersey said, Loser Bruno. And I couldn't get over it. And then my son started laughing at it, and they're like, Loser Bruno. And my wife's like, Loser Bruno. I'm like, Loser Bruno. And then my wife finally comes to the conclusion that it's probably pronounced Loser Bruno.
It's Augustine Loser, who's an Argentine volleyball player.
Argentina. So okay. We're playing Argentina.
Augustine and, Loser.
And the guy's name on the back of his jersey says Loser Bruno.
That's
and I wildly entertaining stuff. Like, I couldn't stop watching, and the whole family was joining in. Loser Bruno. But my wife's like, you know, hon, he's probably Lucelle Bruno. Funniest thing she's ever said to me.
It's like the kicker with the last name of Blewett.
You know, I don't get it. Oh, because he blew it?
Yeah, if you miss a kick, you blew it.
I guess.
Oh, only your jokes are funny. Never mind, Carol.
I didn't make a joke.
That's a 2.5.
Thank you.
I was good. It wasn't even a joke. I was just comparing.
But I wasn't making a joke. I was describing last night how the family was watching volleyball, yeah. And there was a guy named Loser Bruno.
And now after that, are you still in? Yeah, you realize, inevitably, that the shine runs off the Olympics real quick.
No, so I want to answer that fairly. When it comes to the sports I normally watch, like basketball, yeah. I agree with you. But the sports I never watch, I find fascinating. Like, I was into the volleyball.
But they into it. You care about the outcome?
I want USA to win. I love my country. I prefer us win gold. Like, what do you want me to do? I'm going to root for China?
If
like, what
you're
do you want
halfway
me to do?
Through a tight match and USA's winning and Hoffman calls you and goes, hey, I got some good stuff for the Rico. You run into a Rico, you tell him I got to finish
the
volleyball.
No. I think the Rico and the baseball come first. But when there's spare time, like, I'm putting some of the sports on. Do you ever play the game Nukem?
Nukem?
You ever play Nukem?
Just pronounce
one word. One word?
So, I forget what the context of it was, but when I know the context of it, but I don't know why it's called Nukem, but it is a game. I'm going to describe it to you.
Who just got traded to the Yankees?
Jazz Chisholm.
What game are we playing?
Well, it's a game called Nukem.
Okay.
So, you know how in volleyball, you got to like hit the ball back? Like you hit it and they hit it back. Yeah. Everybody's hitting the ball back to you.
Yes.
So when I was a kid at camp, Camp Chanawanda, very famous sleepaway camp, was undefeated in color war, by the way. Always won. It was unbelievable. Until the last year, freaking Gold Hollywood got smoked by Red Circus. Can't get over that. But anyhow, back in the old days of Chanawanda, there was a game called Nukem. And the way Nukem worked, I would totally play this game right now. Like, I would go to the gym and play this with you. So you got, like, four or five guys on one side of the volleyball net.
All right.
And you throw the ball to the other side. Okay?
All right.
If a person catches it, great. Game continues. No big deal. If a person misses it, they're out, and they get eliminated. So if it's 5-on-5, now it's 5-on-4. If the ball just drops in and no one catches it, can't spike it. You got to throw it over the net. Whoever is closest to it is eliminated. So it's a process of elimination game. And I love it, man. I remember as a kid being making diving catches, throwing it back. So it's volleyball, except you throw it, and the name of the game was Nukem.
That's why it's called Nukem, by the way.
I was going to say, it's dodgeball with a volleyball net.
Yes, but it's called Nukem because if you drop it, the theory is a bomb goes off and you die.
Well, so I mean, why are you getting so like literal about that?
That's the literal definition of Nukem. That's why it's called Nukem.
That's terrible.
I mean, jeez, why'd you have to get it to that level?
Why it's called Nukem.
I mean, bombs and people dying are very serious.
I played Nukem.
You did play Nukem?
Of course.
You've heard of the game?
Yes.
Was it called Nukem?
Yes.
Oh, so you're familiar with this.
Yes, yeah. I am, and that's the reason why it was called Nukem.
I don't even care why it's called Nukem. Fine, that's the reason. I thought that game was badass, and the more I watched the volleyball last night, the more I wanted to have a Nukem game. So are you guys down? Like, we could totally do it at the beach.
Why don't we play the Sal and BT team?
What do you mean?
Our show versus their show.
That's fine. I don't care who plays.
Yeah,
I don't
have a little pride.
No, we could do a show thing.
Yeah.
Sure. That'd be fun. Sal and I played horse once a couple of years ago.
The best part is I want to see Dove attempt to catch a ball. He gets eliminated. And then what's better is the game ends and Rosenberg will text us, thanks for the invite.
That'd be a fun game. I'm up for that game.
All right, sounds good.
I forget how many it starts with, but we could do 4-on-4.
Sure.
The problem is none of this is ever going to happen.
Of course not.
And that's why, like, I didn't want to include anybody else. Not because I wouldn't want to play with those guys or play with the morning guys. They just wouldn't do it. Like, It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, we've played all those pickleball games since me and you played.
Yeah, but if I asked you to play again, we would have played.
I know, but we had this idea that we were going to play more after that.
Dude, I'd love to play again. You haven't asked me since. You want to play again?
Yeah, as soon as summer ends and I'm done doing outdoor activities.
Well, we can do an outdoor activity, pickleball outside.
What, are you guys dating? I mean, come on. It's like setting up an awkward second date.
Well,
just come next week.
He kind of is. Like, I love playing sports, but I always have to initiate it with everybody. My only point is, it's like when Craig organized, and he did a great job of it, the softball game last year.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's tough to organize. Those things are just very, very tough. So when it's like us, it's much easier to. Like, to get G or Sal or Brandon or Dukes on the same schedule, it's never going to happen. So, like, I'm not going to waste my time with it. Let's just pick a day to play Nukem. I'm in.
Okay.
You guys in? You in, Luke?
That's cool. For 2.5 years on Carn and Roberts, we were setting up that date where we were all going to go bowling with our wives.
Never happened.
Never happened. So why don't we just do that with this show? We'll all go with our wives. We'll go bowling. It'll be fun.
What happened to Nukem?
I just said we could do Nukem and go bowling.
Oh, you want to do both?
That way we get the momentum going, and that's a guy's night out. We're with the wives. It's a fun night. So, we do Nukem and the bowling.
I mean, we could absolutely do the bowling night. Like, I'm not against it, but I was just all excited about Nukem.
Well,
now we turned it into a date night.
You got to get another show involved. I don't think we could do the 2-on-2 Nukem. You got to have a couple.
No, we get some listeners involved. That's how I started fan baseball. A bunch of fans play baseball with me. Like, why are you so anti-fan? You want to be a man of the people?
I'm not anti-fan.
So let's say 5 listeners. We'll have a contest.
Okay.
5 listeners win. They get to play Nukem with us. Team fan versus the fan. There you go. I just booked it. It's an event. Team fan versus the fan. How many people play Nukem, though? So I need to find out the official rules.
I don't know. I mean, I'm so stunned by how much Rosenberg cares with the name. I haven't looked up.
I don't think there's a requirement on the number of players.
All right. No one's doing it, so I will. What are the rules of Nukem? Is there a B or no B?
Just check the spelling before you
can you not out. Take yeah. a pause in between the nuke and the cum?
So, by the way, I'm not listening to you anymore. It's spelled new, N-E-W, and then comb, C-O-M-B, new comb. It's very similar to volleyball, except players catch and toss the ball instead of hitting it over the net. I'm reading this on a physical education curriculum website.
Okay.
So I have the answer. It is 4-on-4.
I'm a loser.
It's 4-on-4. It's 8 students. There are cones to show you the outside mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. There's 1 ball per court. Mm-hmm. It's 4-on-4. So it's done.
Right.
It's going to be the 4 of us, Tiki Barber. Imagine that. Get to play with a future Hall of Famer.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, Sean Morash, and Tommy Lugauer versus 4 WFAN listeners. I just created the event. The problem is, you know who's going to have an issue with this? Legal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, legal's going to be like, we got to sign documents. Yeah. What if someone gets hurt?
Liability stuff.
I'm going to work on this. I will speak to the bosses, but it's coming soon. Coming this fall. The fan versus the fans in a game of Nukem.
Evan, we cannot schedule this in October. We had to clear our schedules.
I'll let your joke simmer, and then I'll give a joke of my own. If we don't break soon, we're all going to have new jobs.
Okay. Got a little early start time for the Yankees because the Phillies start their weeknight games a tad early, 6:40 first pitch. So we got the Yankee pregame show coming up in about 25 minutes. Interleague play, the New York Yankees, the Philadelphia Phillies, the 2009 World Series rematch. And I am curious. I've got my own personal opinion for very selfish reasons, I admit. The Mets sent an email out the other day, and I think they even tweeted it out earlier today, polling their fans on what start times they prefer for weeknight games. Because we have seen a lot of teams move to like this 6:30, 6:40 range. And obviously, full disclosure, I love the Mets starting at 7 o'clock because on a night like tonight, I'm not going tonight, but certainly a night like tomorrow where I am going, selfishly, my job, we all have jobs, my job ends at 6:30. I've got time to go over and see the Mets play.
Right.
If the Mets played at 6:30, I would never go to weeknight games. I just wouldn't because I wouldn't make the first 3 innings of the game. So when I saw that their poll was out and they sent it to me, every season ticket holder, and they put it on social media, they gave the options 6:10, 6:40, 7:10, which it's currently, and 7:40. And so you know how I voted.
7:40 was number 1, I'm guessing.
Was it number 1?
Yeah.
Yes, it was number 1 for
Gives
me.
You even more time to get to the game.
But that's my self... I admit it's a selfish decision,
well,
but
that's... What your survey is,
That's what
way.
A survey... Of course.
Right.
Like, do we prefer early... Forget work for a second, because I know that we're all affected by that. So I'm even trying to, like, take it out of my brain, like, thinking, okay, back in the day where I was doing middays and I was going to all these games, would have I preferred an early start time? And I kind of lean towards no even then.
I do.
You like early start times?
And it has nothing to do with working here now. I just remember the days of me working early mornings And my dad, his whole life, would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember nights he was just exhausted or would give up in those innings. Now, granted, rules have changed. There's a lot of people get their ass up early that the earlier starts help, man.
But how many people, because really this is about attendance more than it is watching the games. How many people are able to, excuse me?
No, I get it. This is where it affects it.
Well, how many people are able to go to a game that starts that early? Like, most of us work. Most of us work that 9-to-5 job. Obviously, ours are a little bit different. Like, I don't know how well that would be for attendance figures if you're starting a game in that 6 o'clock hour. The Phillies are doing it, so obvious. The Cleveland Guardians do it. Like, some teams do it, and they have their reasons. I just don't know if that works in New York City.
Obviously, season ticket holders are the ones you have to take care of, but I think the average fan, if you have tickets to a game at 6:40, you're either taking the day off or getting out of work earlier. It's about the season ticket holders and how long it takes them to commute.
I'm going to put that poll out on Twitter. I'm going to follow the Mets suit. I'm going to say, as a baseball fan, I'll include the Yankees too, because maybe the Yankees are thinking about this as well. What would be your preferred weekday start time? 6:40, 7:10, 7:40. What do you think will win?
Probably 7:10.
No, I hope so. Jeez. My Met attendance will go way down.
I think the pace of play 7:10 works way better now than it used
to. You know what's funny about that? I'm glad you said that. When I was a kid, and I'm not that old, I'm 41 years old now, but when I was a kid going to games, weekday night games at Citi Field, or Shea Stadium, I should say, was 7:40.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
No.
And I think they changed it like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then every game became 7:10 during the week. So there was a time.
Same thing with the hockey and basketball locals.
Yeah, the Knicks still do 7:30.
They capped it, I know. But
the Knicks and Nets still do 7:30. I think the reason why is basketball is it's a controlled game. I mean, hockey is too, but
yeah, but hockey used to start 7:32. Now it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
The earlier it ends, the better.
So lazy.
Stop being lazy. I want time to watch something else before bed.
All right. I'm going to put that poll out on social media. I put one poll out already on social media. It was a blowout. I said, Met fans, would you be interested in a reunion with Max Scherzer if he becomes available? And it's 70% no, 30% sure, why not? So the Met fan has spoken in one true voice, disagreeing with Positive Tommy, that it would be a terrible decision to bring Max Scherzer back. Let's get to some of your phone calls. Yankee baseball coming up. They're taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Sparky is in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Sparky?
Yes. First of all, good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
And as far as Jake DeGrom, the Mets under no reason should ever bring him back.
Why are you being such a jerk? Well, why are you doing that? Why are you being a bad guy, Sparky? You sound like a good guy. You sound like a guy I'd have a beer with.
No.
You sound like a bad guy right now. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. but seriously,
yeah.
The idea when they needed him the most, the Mets, they couldn't depend on the guy.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's a stupid comment, Sparky. No. And you're a smart guy, and I'm going to hang up because I don't want to yell at you. You sound like such a good guy. So in 2022, let me get this straight because I want to get my facts straight here. So in 2022, when no one showed up down the stretch, who's the one starter that won a playoff game against the Padres? What's the answer, Sean?
Jacob DeGrom.
Say his name, bitch.
Jacob DeGrom, bitch.
All right. I'm going to use the bad word, not you. Final weekend against the Atlanta Braves. They all pitched crappily, including Jake. But who actually pitched the best of the three big aces?
Jacob DeGrom.
In 2015, who started Game 1 and Game 5 and left it all on the table in Game 5 of the National League Division Series against the LA Dodgers?
Sean Manaea.
No.
Oh, Jacob DeGrom.
So don't lie to the audience. Don't do that. I don't like that. Don't lie to everybody and say he was unreliable. That is BS when it comes to the biggest moments. You want to say he was hurt a lot? He was. And for those of you that claimed it was fake injuries, he didn't want to pitch, he's xenophobia? Injury-a-phobia.
No, Xena's the warrior princess.
It's xenophobia is like scared of something.
Oh.
Either way, it wasn't that. He got hurt. He got frail. Like, that's a thing. I admit he just needed Tommy John surgery. But to call up Sparky, if that's your real name, and say he was never reliable in the biggest of spots, shut your mouth. Wait a second. Was that phone call about Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom?
I forgot in your long, rambling soliloquy.
Yeah, because if it was Scherzer, I apologize.
No, it was Jake. It was definitely Jake, because I remember looking at the screen.
All right, good. I feel better about ripping Sparky a new one. Ridiculous comment. Anthony's in Orange, Connecticut. What's up, Anthony?
Well, first of all, I hope that starts a rumor that Jacob DeGrom is a xenophobe, because that'd be really, really funny if that starts here. no, but honestly, I forgot what I originally called about, but I do remember playing the game Nukem when I was in, you know, elementary school growing up. I used to play Nukem at the volleyball net all the time.
How old are you right now, Anthony? How old are you?
I will be turning 30 in a month.
30 in a month. So here's my idea. Anthony, I think you should be a part of the mix. You can call up and enter the contest. It's a new contest that we need to go through some legal hurdles first. But we're going to have a Nukem game. It's going to be the fan versus the fans. That's the idea.
Okay.
So Anthony sounds like a great candidate. 30 years old, played in elementary school.
Athletic.
I'm in. So here's my rules. We're going to play two games, okay? Game number one is going to be the fan versus the fans. And then the second game is going to be like, we're going to pick teams up.
Why do you got to
do this?
We're going
to choose them.
Just stick with the fan versus the fan. This is what Evan always does. He's got to take it the extra mile. Now we're going to do this on top of this. Fan versus the fans.
The only reason.
Best of five series.
Oh, you want to do best of five?
Absolutely.
What if the fans, and this is a possibility, Sean, are much, 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 much better athletes than us?
Then we lose with dignity.
So you got no problem with like a three-game sweep. We all get our tuckuses kicked, then we all move on.
As long as our post-game press conferences sound like Pete Fairbanks, we're going to be okay.
That is true. All right, fair enough. I accept that. So best of three, game of, or best of five, you said? I apologize.
Best of five. And with all due respect, like we have Tiki, I'm not entering any athletic competition with my teammates being Evan and Lugau. We're assuming we're winning. So I'm okay with that.
I mean, I think we got a fair shot. Like, I think I'm going to be really good at it because I was good at it at Camp Chanawanda. And that was, you know, 1993, so I was 10. Like, that was back in my heyday of athleticism.
Oh, that was your heyday. Okay.
Yeah, that was the... What?
There's another hurdle we're going to run into here. You ever see The Longest Yard?
Yes, long time ago.
Prisoners now face the guards?
Yeah, yeah.
Check WFAN Reddit. Me and Sean are not exactly liked by the audience at times, and you're going to let these people throw balls at our head?
Yes. I'm not scared.
My face is my livelihood.
I'm not scared. By the way, most of those people, keyboard warriors, not going to try hard.
Yeah, no, I... First of all, I think it's great if people hate you, or us, or me, or Tiki. And want to throw balls at our faces.
So it's like the longest yard.
I got no problem with that. I think that adds to the... This is going to be one hell of a contest. I think people are going to be jamming the phone lines to compete in the first ever fan versus fans edition of Nukem.
Wrong attitude. They want to put balls in our face. We put balls right back in theirs.
You're damn right.
You co-signed that obvious innuendo there.
I wasn't on innuendo.
Because you're so worried about the Nukem, and he gave you the little innuendo there, and you just said balls are in our face.
No, I'm not doing any innuendo. That's the object of the game. Like, you throw the ball, and if it happens to hit somebody's face, it hits their face.
So listeners will throw their balls at our face.
Look, I think
and we throw our balls back at their face.
Got it. I got you.
I think there's a famous quote. I forget who said it. If he dies, he dies.
Right.
It's Ivan Drago.
Right. If you get balls in your face, you get balls in your face.
See, you guys are going too far with the whole innuendo. I'm just merely saying it's going to be a great competition. I will be honest with you. I always want to be honest with everybody listening. I think we're going to have legal hurdles, and we're going to fight through it. I believe in the architect. I believe he will somehow twist enough arms, and we will get this done. And I'd say this fall, the fan versus the fans in a game of Nukem. And by the way, if we don't do it, I think the concept of the fan versus the fans is a great concept anyway. So maybe it's basketball. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's golf. Actually, it's not golf. We'll leave that to the morning, guys. I'm out on golf.
It could be mini golf. That's more of our speed.
I would totally do mini golf.
Guys, no. It's Nukem. That's it. What are we doing here?
What do you mean that's it?
The idea starts as something. Don't let it escalate to 30 different things. The idea is playing Nukem.
I think it could become a series. No, I disagree with you. I think Lugie's right. This is why he's the executive producer. I think this could be like a common thing, like every 3 months. I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I think it's an unpopular opinion amongst my fellow Met fans. I don't want to give up big prospects. I want the Mets to add, but if anything, use their financial might. Okay, that's my opinion as a Met fan. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. Sean and I had a passionate debate about it. But I don't remember a team so openly and freely talking about adding players the way Met players have. A few weeks ago, Brandon Nimmo essentially said, we need bullpen help. Was it Pete Alonso? Or maybe it was Brandon Nimmo again, said in that post-game interview, we think we've earned being buyers at the trade deadline.
Yep.
And now, listen to this from Luis Severino, according to Mike Puma. Luis Severino on Blake Snell. I think he's coming back to his old self. It'd be really fun to get somebody like that.
How is he allowed to say that?
So now you've got, and then look, I get it. He was asked, I'm sure. It wasn't like he brought it up on his own. He was asked, hey, Blake Snell, what do you think? But you have Met players so openly saying, yeah, go get that guy. Yeah, go get this. Oh, yeah, we could use that. And here's the reality about Luis Severino, who I like. like Luis Severino. Luis Severino is likely to not be a Met next year. So he doesn't care about the prospect capital that may have to be given up for a player. Nor does any player care. I don't think Brandon Nimmo cares, despite having a long-term contract. I think players are very in the moment, rightfully so. I don't think they should. But as a fan, and I think David Stearns is on the same page as me, they need to be smart and can't be emotional here at the trade deadline. And I don't think they will. Bringing in Blake Snell would be great if it really just involved money, not trading top-line prospects like Brandon Sprout or Drew Gilbert or whoever.
Yeah, and any prospect that remains in the pipeline could be up to take somebody like Nimmo's job. So, of course, why would they care about
I don't
that?
Even think they think about it that way, but sure.
But it's like asking players in another league to tank. You could be tanking for your replacement if you play.
Absolutely. Bigger. So it's interesting that Seve said it, but I don't think players are thinking about the long term of a franchise. By the way, coming up next here on SNY.
Wait, by the way, can somebody ask Seve if they still have any two hitters?
I need to do this read.
All right.
I know you want to make a joke, but it's very important.
It's important.
SNY is a great partner. And I want to promote them. And I want to promote Cadillac because I love them. I love everybody.
I could have been done by now.
You babbled about Severino. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. And I'm pretty sure Sal will be on that show. Can you cut this guy some slack? He didn't chinx the Mets, okay? He made a joke. It was an innocent joke. I chuckled at it when I saw it on Friday. Can we stop killing Sal? What?
He didn't jinx the Mets. Brought out the negativity, though, in the fan base, which I've been tirelessly trying to fight against. And I spoke about this with Sal off the air. He brought out the negativity. To your point, stop, guys. There's no jinxes. There's no mushes. Nothing.
The NL East is over.
Nothing Sal ever said or will ever say will mush or jinx anybody.
You know what bothered me, actually, more than anything?
That Tommy just made Sal's tweet about himself?
He did make it about himself. It's not. What bothered me wasn't even my man Frank the Tank, who I'm a big fan of. Frank the Tank actually ran into Tiki Barber recently,
yeah,
and they're going to do a big Frank's Walk with Tiki. And I love Frank. I've got one issue with Frank that we will sort out at a later date, and that's his basketball fandom, but that's for another day. I understand Frank being emotional. I totally get it. That's who Frank is.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of smart Met fans, like intelligent Met fans, who I saw, like, literally say, Sal screwed us! And I'm like, dude, really? Do you think that? Like, do you honestly think that this random dude tweeting about the Mets on a Friday night, making a joke about something that he did get in trouble for 2 years ago?
Oh, man.
Like, really killed the Mets? So I am on Team Sal Licata in this. And it's not because we're FAN co-workers. It's not because I've known him for a long time. It's because it's the right thing to do.
Well, I hope the Twins don't win 9-1 tonight, or it's going to be a rough opening.
No, 10 a.m. Listen, if they lose, Sal's going to be blamed.
No doubt.
But I don't think he should be blamed. I think that tonight, if we can't hit Simeon Woods Richardson, that should be blamed. But either way, got a big night of baseball. The Yankees and the Phillies pregame show is coming up next. We will be on the air tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Order will be restored. Tiki Barber will be back. And we'll have a fun afternoon with you. Plus, stay tuned for Thursday. Tiki is going to be given the ultimate choice. Will he put on a gift from Evan Roberts, a Breece Hall Jets jersey? It's all coming up this week on Evan and Tiki.